As we're heading to DRC Congo, Luchulumanco Mawisa, who is an independent political analyst. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm right. Thanks for having me.
As much as this could be classified as a tragedy, I'm not sure. Perhaps you can enlighten us in respect of any fatalities or serious injuries. But the story reads off the face of it. Mountain collapses in DRC Congo, revealing tons of copper. We know DRC Congo, one of the wealthiest countries in the world and on the African continent, rich in coltan, cobalt, gold, amongst others. And we know there are several international actors that are actually controlling these mines to the detriment of the locals in DRC. So would this have them smiling, as it were?
Yes, news are still coming in as the DRC really is a humanitarian crisis in action. Well, there's two points of contention here, right? Resource exploitation and environmental impact. The mere fact that there's been a collapse means to say that there is quite essentially an environmental impact that impacts both the mining as well as humans in essence. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is the resource exploitation. I mean, if the mountain collapses and resources have been found, which is copper, we know that the DRC is rich in zinc and copper and gold and silver and uranium, you name it. The DRC is well endowed with that. And the fall of this mountain unfortunately brings about smiling faces to global capital, while the humanitarian crisis in itself is something that is not actually looked at. And the mere fact that if you have seen the videos, that there are loads and tons of people who are seen watching the collapse, meaning that they live in close proximity of the mountain, and therefore their lives essentially are in danger.
Now, we've covered the conflict in the DRC Congo on a number of occasions on PM Drive. We've also spoken about strong allegations that point in the direction of the Rwandan government under Paul Kagame, who continues to arm M23 rebels as they literally have brought the Goma region, Kivu province, under siege, wanting to assume control over several of these mines, and then ably supported by several other international administrations and state actors. So the possibility of this continuing to play out in this manner, highly likely, because it's affecting tens of thousands of DRC Congo civilians. Many of them are also being abused in the worst possible manner, working as slave laborers in a lot of these mines.
Noted, that is 100% true. However, if you speak to any official from the Rwandanese government, they would flatly deny it. But I mean, evidence has shown, even the UN has issued out reports that Rwanda is essentially funding the M23 rebels. This now is because of an agreement that was signed in March 2009. However, the M23 fought a rebellion in 2012 against us, saying that the DRC government had now backed away from that agreement.
Now, what we've also spoken about to a couple of analysts is how rich the DRC Congo is in coltan. For those perhaps not completely au fait with it, you can quickly Google it, but confirmed, it's a rich resource that literally powers up our smartphones through the medium of our batteries, our laptops, and all electronic devices that require batteries for power, hence coltan. And the DRC, as a country, is literally the wealthiest country on the planet that has enough reserves of coltan mines that could possibly continue to power up our technology industry for a couple of decades.
Agreed, around 100%, that's true. What we need to understand and what we need to fathom is the fact that the DRC's cry is essentially the cry of the whole continent. And to bring it home, the DRC's cry is the cry of South Africa, in essence, because if the DRC was allowed to breathe and exist and have it, and have governance structures that allow it to engage and have free trade agreements with other countries, for example, we would not have had load shedding in South Africa at all. That would have been a pipe dream that essentially never came.
Now, some would perhaps argue. I'd like your take from your perspective as an analyst on the African continent. Some would argue perhaps this was as a result of natural causes, and perhaps we should speak to the more environmental aspect and impact related to this. Others would argue perhaps it's staged, because now you literally have tons of copper at the disposal of huge conglomerates and corporates that continue to abuse this beautiful African country of ours on our continent, because copper, used in technological applications due to its electrical and thermal conductivity. It's used in the circuitry of many electronic devices, including smartphones, tablets, and laptops. And it's apparently a primary conductor of electricity, second only to silver. So perhaps the knives will be out here, the jury would be out. Some would argue it was a natural occurrence. Others would perhaps argue maybe it was staged so that these big conglomerates could gain access then to these huge reserves of copper in the DRC.
I'm of the view that the collapse in itself is partly man-made and partly natural. Mm. However, the argument is this. The collapse occurred as a result of human exploitation of the natural resources. Now, if we are going to dig deep and find natural resources within the ground, yet not having contingency plans on the ifs and whats if things go wrong or if things go bad. Essentially, what's going on in the Congo is exploitation that we are used to through colonialism. That's still happening in 2024.
Now, we're facing resource exploitation that continues unabated in the DRC Congo. You rightfully mentioned, Luchulu Manco, environmental aspect, which we need to also focus on, the erosion of the natural environment. Add to that human exploitation. The conflict between the DRC military and M23 rebels backed by the Rwandan government. This continues unabated. It has literally displaced millions of Congolese innocent civilians. They've also gone about literally wiping out villages in close proximity to Goma and the Kivu province, where these areas are essentially very rich in natural resources. We saw reports also a couple of months ago, I think it was about 2 months ago, I sent under correction, where there was an attempted coup in the capital city, orchestrated by these rebels, and the military managed to intervene. And what they found, that a lot of the special ops that were part of this coup were US citizens.
Essentially, the reemergence of this so-called coup happened in 2022 and was funded by non-state actors. So therefore, that is why there's an issue with now trying to find a resolution for this particular war that's happening. The humanitarian crisis that's been happening for quite a long time and has no actual means to an end at present. For example, UN peacekeeping missions are essentially packing up after the request of the DRC government for them to leave, because they are not finding any solutions, but they are placed in the country.
Now, Luchulu Manco, what is the very latest in respect of the ongoing conflict between M23 rebels and the DRC military? Because based on reports that we're seeing, it does appear as if M23 rebels are rapidly gaining ground, and it does appear as if there is a strategy at play here where perhaps Rwanda would want to seize control over this Kivu and Goma region, usurp it, make it part of Rwanda. So then essentially you would literally have the lion's share of all of the DRC Congo's natural resources.
It's essentially what the DRC needs to do, and in fact what the African Union needs to do is to step in. We have not heard the voices of the AU robustly within the conflict, one. Secondly, the region itself, regional players need to step in. For example, if you if you take a look at the Sahel region, where leaders had taken over the government through the so-called coups in the region. Yes, they are coups. However, they're backed by the population, by large numbers of the population within the country. So essentially, they are being supported, and in order for them to safeguard their own safety and safeguard their own resources. So that's something that needs to happen as well. Also, if we take into recognition the AFCTA, which is Africa Free Trade Continental Agreement, it's an agreement which would essentially help the DRC if it was allowed to breathe and survive and be its own, in order to define its own trajectory.
Very true. Luchulu Manco, it's very sad for us on the African continent. We've got the ongoing genocide in the DRC, Congo, the conflict. Also conflict that continues to rage on in South Sudan. Too many international actors that are continuing to meddle in the righteous story which Africa and only Africa should be allowed to tell. What should we do in as far as our African story is concerned?
Well, the African story needs to be told by us as Africans. The media in itself has a role to play. Media narratives and African agency need to be defined by Africans in particular, and for themselves and by themselves. So having these conversations where we recognize that what happens in Ekolobi in the Eastern Cape, in the mines, what happens in Stilfontein in the mines, what's currently happening in South Africa, for example, what happens in Katanga region in the southwest of the DRC is essentially connected. It's global capital that's trying to determine what and how resources ought to be spent and how, to the detriment of the locals.
Luchulu Manco Mawisa, independent political analyst. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time on PM Drive.
Thank you very much.